What is up, Dolphin fans?
Long intro there. Holy moly.
I'm like, whoa, Dolphin.
Who's your daddy now?
Just so you know, I don't tell them when I do the intros. I just say whatever's on the top of my mind. Miami spanked Buffalo, and we are going to talk about that. But first, let's shout out the sponsors of the stream, starting with Brunt. Go check out Brunt right now. It is like 40 degrees up in Jersey. I got my hoodie on, so go out and get yourself some Brunt. Even if you're down in Florida, it's very fashionable. Use the promo code HMA, and you get $10 off. SeatGeek, if you were at that game, which from what it looked like, there wasn't a lot of us at that game, use promo code FINS. You get $20 off your first purchase. Now, this next game is technically a home game, but they will be in Madrid. But then the Saints game is a home game. So you want to go to that Saints game, could possibly be another win. Go grab yourself some of that. Also, Sleeper, check them out. Great fantasy app. I use them constantly. We talk about the more or lesses with the app. Use a promo code HMA, and you get 100% up to $100. We gotta look good for this stream, because man, I warned Bill fans I was gonna be just sufferable for the next couple of days, because First of all,
you mean like a head coach who goes drive by elbow room to do a troll job?
I wish he was in a convertible. I really do. But also, real quick, don't forget to check out the podcast. And if you want to become a member, it's the join button next to the subscribe button. Fun fact: I picked the Dolphins to lose to the Atlanta Falcons 30-10.
Uh-huh. I
picked them to lose to Buffalo 40-10.
You need to be more negative, Doug.
That's what I'm saying, man. You'd rather be surprised than let down. And Miami came out, and holy crap, all facets of the game. Now, there's something I want to talk about real quick, because this was like a hot topic, especially on Twitter, and I was getting a lot of pushback on this. The two interceptions from Tua. Now, I was told that I need to talk to Omar and Allen because they need to set it straight for me that they were good plays.
No love for the defense or the running game. We have to.
Trust me. We're 2 minutes in. We got a long ways to go. But I'm getting this out of the way because I got a lot of crap. I don't like it.
I have always thought, always proposed, never understood, especially at the half, why teams just don't throw the ball downfield at a receiver running deep. Primarily because two positive things can happen. You can catch the ball. You can get a PI. If you get PI in NFL, you move down the length of the field and you get one more play. Mm-hmm. But Mike McDaniel supposedly instructed Tua that if you get single high safety with Jalen Waddle, mm-hmm. nobody else, mm-hmm. Jalen Waddle, you take it. Don't pay attention to the interception. And ultimately, it's like a punt. Because he throws it as far. Like, you should tell. I could tell right away.
He cocks
it back, and he just, you know. I realized, yes, Tua can throw 45, maybe 50 yards on a good day with the wind supporting.
It was 52, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That touchdown to Waddle was actually
54. Give it
to Doug. Here's the thing: can we not push it so far as to say it was a good play? Let's just say it was not a dramatically bad play, because they served that. Well, the second one, for example, if you tack on the penalty that was assessed against Buffalo, it became a net of 54 for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. You're going to take that on a punt any day of the week.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I understand, and I said, and, you know, when I broke it down, I said the first time they did it, I get it, you know, it was 3rd and 11, it's the beginning of the game, it started out like crap, you know, with the false start, which was just a motion, and then the timeout, and it was like, all right, try something, you know, just heave it up, try something, see, but the second time, the score was 16-6. It was only 3rd and 9, you know, and God forbid that was brought back. And then all of a sudden the game is you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really take a down away. And that's my thought process is you're facing the Bills. You have to be perfect on every little thing. And my thought was you kind of took a down away by doing it. I got a lot of pushback for it, which people tried to protect them, but it's just, I wish on 3rd and 9, you know, especially you're throwing it and your Bishop down there 6'2", you know, you're going to really have a 50-50 ball with 5'10" versus 6'2". It's like, and then God forbid he fell. So, you know, but again, in hindsight.
Yeah. And I think the first one, Waddle had their PI on Waddle.
That just
called. Yeah. But I understand your perspective, Doug. I've always thought this was, I'm like 10 years in, like, why are not teams not doing this? Mm-hmm. Because it makes way too much sense at the half when you're at the fifth, just like the Tua play where you got sacked, you know.
Yeah.
Are you not throwing the ball deep? Yeah. You could get a catch or a PI in that situation, and then you get an extra play.
Because didn't it work in 2023? We got a field goal out of it because there was a PI down
the field. In the opener, yep.
Yeah, got it, TD.
It was a terrible decision by Mike McDaniel to tell Tua Tagovailoa to do that. That isn't football. I understand the logic of what Omar is saying, but I agree with you on this one, Doug. It was not a good idea. It's 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9. How about just try to get the first down instead of, you see, that shows the desperation this team is in right now, where Mike can say, hey, on 3rd downs, if you get single high, let's just take the shots. And they did it 3 times in the game. It's like, this is the play now. You get that look, just do it anyway. Just throw it up, put it up, let the guy, because we could talk about the PI potential. We didn't get any. We could talk about the catch. We got 1 out of 3. These are failing numbers.
No, I don't think that pass to Waddle was the same thing.
That was a
play call design. I could tell you exactly when they get to a certain yardage, Tua's taking a shot.
It's like what, the 45-ish?
41, 42, 43.
Yeah.
But yeah, I discovered that 3 years ago. We were talking about it. But listen, why are we talking about all the things that could go right, but we don't talk about the things that could go wrong and why no team does it? Because
that's drastically bad. Is you get an interception and it's returned back for substantial yardage
or a touchdown points.
Okay, and a punt returner could do the exact same thing,
or he can't, because you actually have a play designed to go stop the returner. This isn't a play designed to stop a returner.
Yes, there is. It's part of the play call. It's Tua, you chuck in.
It's part of the play call for Tua and Waddle, not the O-line, who would never be on the field for special teams.
That's a very excellent point.
You're not letting me finish. It's like, Waddle, you go deep. I'm going to chuck it. And then the offensive line, you run downfield, prepare for an interception return, NWI, adjust your route at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I get you now. But I thought you were really going in.
Like, you gave me a taste of your own medicine.
Omar, the delusional one, not you. Okay.
All right, let's talk about some positives now. We got that out of the way. Let's talk about some positives. The defense played fantastic. Josh Allen looked like he was going to throw up at some points. To the guys that were at the game, Omar and all that, was the sun out on their side? From what I saw on TV, it was raining and cloudy.
The one thing about Miami is when it rains, it makes it muggy and humid.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a factor.
But both teams experienced that, right?
Yeah, Miami is used to that, I guess. It's just on top of you. But it wasn't that hot. It was a nice day outside, except for the sun showers. Like, they were crying about nothing. They just got whooped. They got whooped from snap one.
They never cried about it.
Greg Russo came out. Greg Russo came out and he said that, I don't want to make an excuse, but the heat was a factor in this and that.
I don't want to make an excuse, but I'm going to make an excuse.
Exactly. Yeah. And he played in Miami. Greg Russo was from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real about it. I traveled to the cold. Like, that Green Bay game, oh, my God, that was inhumane. Yeah. I told you, I learned you have to walk in the wind backwards.
Nobody
told me that.
I'll teach you. Me and Alan will teach you the ways of the cold.
That wind was cutting through me, and you guys were like, oh, you should have been walking backwards. I'm like,
Put your hood up and walk backwards. When I, little side story, when I used to walk to school, I'd have to go down a hill towards the bay, towards my high school. During the winter, I'd walk backwards. I put my hood up and I put my headphones on. I walk backwards and then I make the turn. I'm good. Yeah. No, it's so it's funny. So the Dolphins get blamed for talking about it being cold. Let's.
That I mean, we know it was a 1 o'clock game in South Florida. We don't get that many of it. This one happened in November, and the Bills were.
Oh yeah,
like
I thought Josh Allen was going to throw up at one point. He was like pale, and he was just well. That's also because he. Let's talk about another positive. That's secondary. Juju Brents had a fantastic game. He shut down Keon Coleman, and then when he came out, Bonner got beat up on and gave up the touchdown.
Turn around. God, it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Please don't turn around. And there was an example, same kind of play in the Sunday night game where the Chargers cornerback was down the field one-on-one against the wide receiver, and he turned around and he got his hand on the ball, and he got plenty of time. And Bonner had time to turn around. He never did.
Him, Minkah Fitzpatrick getting his hand up on that 4th-and-1 play, like the secondary play out of their mind to the point where Josh Allen had to run around like a chicken with his head cut off, which in turn gassed him out. So
the defense. I found, you know what? I am not going to credit that for Josh Allen. Like Josh Allen had opportunities to run. And I don't know if you got that in the TV copy. He had opportunities to run that he turned down. And I was like, why is he not playing his game? And I was like, okay, maybe he's saving it for later in the game or later in the half or third downs like Patrick Mahomes does. I had no idea why he wasn't playing his way.
What happened? It gets in his head. It gets in his head sometimes. Think about early in the game. There was one particular play I think got in his head. He saw a lane. He scooted up in it and was about to take off, but one of our guys, got him.
Sealer got him. Yeah, it was his first sack of the season.
And it's simple plays like that can change. I don't want to mess up in that moment again, thinking I have something that actually isn't there. And he's like, I don't want to be. I think stuff like that is what affected him in this game because we got at him early.
I really think that they took Dolphins lightly.
We talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it.
I don't know because they knew the implications when you look at the AFC. It's one thing if you're
not worried at Buffalo. They're not worried about that. They might not
even make the playoffs.
They're Buffalo. Scared. They're not worried about that.
They might not even make the playoffs. So y'all, this week they lose to the Bucs. They might not make the playoffs.
Their receiving core is trash. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, watch him beat the crap. I knew that. Watch him beat the crap out of the Bucs. They were coming off.
He was coming back.
TD. They were coming off a huge win against Kansas City, which is everything to them. They're coming to Miami. Oh, Jan, we've beaten them seven straight.
That's seven straight, man. We know they're going to quit. They probably quit on their coach this week. The GM just got fired. They took Miami very lightly.
I think we underestimate the fact that this is a tenured team. They've already been through all of those, taken lightly and all of that. They knew this game was about business. They were saying it in their press conferences. We can't take this lightly. We got to go in here and get this W, X, Y, and Z. It's easy and convenient for us to just say they took it lightly. This is why I don't think they took it lightly. We beat them. Like they didn't kill themselves. Like both fumbles, Jack Jones fumbles.
But it's easy and convenient to say all the right things. We're not going to take them lightly. We know they're a good team.
I understand that.
Human nature.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch the game, Alan, we took it. They didn't let down. We took it. So I don't think they took us lightly because we actually put BTA.
Not that they let down, it's that they came in without the intensity from the start was much higher on the Dolphins side than the
But
they're broke down too. That like we're not realizing they're broke down. That what they had on that field is what was left. Like people not realizing Bills are down right now. Oh, everybody's looking at this Chiefs game. They've been building for 5 years to beat the team.
Correct.
That's all they've been building for. And I told everybody in Bills Nation, I said, y'all problem is y'all have spent 5 years trying to beat the Chiefs, but this year y'all got like 3-4 teams that that matchup. Y'all got
the division.
Yeah, out. So I just feel like I don't want to do our defense, especially a disservice, in saying that they laid down, because those Jack Jones fumbles, both of them, he went and got those. The intensity didn't matter. They were holding those footballs. Those were precision punches on those balls.
That's not the right term, but you watch the clip, the one that's on there. I think Travis put it up, of Jordan Brooks. He's got a guard coming at him, and he's just way more determined than the guard. The guard trying to wipe him out, and Jordan Brooks basically dips under him, like, get the hell out of my way. I'm going to duck under you and get to the spot.
I think
letting down. That's not the right terminology.
I think what Alan's trying to say is, like, it's like you're preparing to fight Muhammad Ali, right? So you prepare, you do all this stuff, you fight Muhammad Ali. Your next opponent isn't at the level of Muhammad Ali. So you're preparing, but you're not preparing as much. You get in that ring and that inferior boxer, bah, 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 hits you a bunch of times.
You don't, it was your former sparring partner, and you've been beating him behind, but he know your style.
Halftime, you're like 16-0. We got to wake up, and it's too late.
Y'all giving the Bills more credit than they deserve.
No, I think what it is the Dolphins took this more seriously in an aspect of, this is our coach's job on the line, whereas the Bills are like, hey, man, let's just go in and do our thing. And the Dolphins are like, we need to win. There's two different, like, things.
Didn't we do this when we played them in Buffalo? We just were making mental errors with penalties.
They made some mental errors in that game.
In the mouth in that first Buffalo game. This isn't a new thing.
My theory, it aligns with what Mike McDaniel said, which is they know the formula that they need to have in a week of practice. They finally figured it out in Atlanta week. Mm-hmm. And the problem is you didn't have a chance to replicate it because you had the Thursday night game next. You didn't even practice that week. All you did was walkthroughs, and you didn't even get a full week of film study. So now that they had a full week and were able to replicate what they did at Atlanta, they're like, see the results. When you stick to the process and the game plan, who was it? Jordan Brooks said, we have three things to focus on. We hammer those three things down. And if we do those three things, we'll win. Mm-hmm. And I was also like, I mean, obviously every game is different and specific, but I definitely agree that there's something to that where Mike McDaniel felt like he broke the code with Atlanta. The problem is
it took 8 weeks to break the code.
Yeah. I mean, look at Buffalo. Look at the Giants. Giants were one of the hottest teams a month ago. Then they lost the code.
They have two wins. They have no code.
Yeah. But I really do. I'm not saying that they're a good team or going to win seven straight, even though we've seen this team respond from digging themselves into a deep hole. But I do think that they've figured some things out. The rookies are playing a lot better. They're not feeling like rookies anymore. And, you know, they still got issues. But as I said, the sixth offensive lineman, protect Tua. Like, protect Tua. He doesn't need five options. Protect Tua. And obviously, Achane had a good game. But to me, there's still problems and issues with this team, primarily starting with, you got two weapons. Like, you have two weapons, and, like, soon enough, somebody's going to figure out how to stop these two weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about the season and kind of piggybacking off that and get to the first topic of, can the season be saved? And it's a very Dolphins thing, right? Now, we got Washington coming up. We're going to Madrid. They're not going to have Scary Terry. They're not going to have, you know, the defensive lineman. The head coach is now taking on. Like, it's like building up to, like, Dolphins should win this game, but you know what's so Dolphins? For them to lose this game. So it's like two ends of the spectrum. We can win this game and that's so Dolphins, like we did last year, and go on a tear and beat the Washington, the Saints, the, you know, all these teams aren't good, and all of a sudden be sitting at a record that I don't want to say because now it's a meme.
Sick.
I hate it so much. And then we're one game out of 500. Or we could be that so Dolphins and lose the next three and kind of be in that trajectory that some fans want of getting a top pick. So can the Dolphins season be saved? We'll start with TD.
Well, it's not so Dolphin to lose the next three, actually. That's why I said we were going to beat the Bills. Because it's so Dolphin to do everything that you don't think they're going to do. That's what is so Dolphin. They're going to win the next three, actually. I truly believe it. What really changed with the Miami Dolphins? The defense is actually locked in better the last few weeks. And the offense ain't changed. I mean, the sixth offensive lineman, the Bills got a terrible run defense. They've had it all season. Mm-hmm. That's why they were trading for trying to get Quinnen Williams. They have a terrible run defense. I was actually waiting, like, when are we going to pop on a run game? It don't make sense. We should be running the football. And in the second half, we got it together and we popped a few. And outside of popping those few, they were actually doing well on our run game. If you really look at it, we really weren't running the ball well.
Achan had 61 yards, and I think
I was primarily talking about the second half when they came out to make adjustments. But this team is going to, in my opinion, can the season be saved? I don't even know what it's being saved from. We're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, we need to just come to the realization of what it is. That was for you, Alan, for your Twitter post for the person telling you that. But can the season be saved? Absolutely not. Because what's so Dolphin is to win the next three, go 6-7, and then you got four games left, which all four are legitimate, especially with Burrow coming back for sure now. All four of them are legitimate, and you know what the Dolphins going to do? They're going to win two of those. They're going to win. I don't know what order, but they're going to win two of those.
No, they'll win them, and then they'll lose to Tampa and New England.
Give me the last game of the season versus the Patriots. Oh, if that team lose, that team loses, that team loses, we win. You know, that's what's so Dolphin. So for me,
you know what? That's a lie. They have had so many opportunities where you win that game in the season finale, and usually against Buffalo, you're in, and they lose.
I said we're going to come down to that last Patriots game. If they lose, they lose, and they lose, and we win. Yeah, we going.
And they'll all lose. We'll play Sunday night, and then we'll lose.
Wouldn't you prefer that, though, to the season being over?
Not at all, because I know the outcome. I know the outcome.
So let me ask you guys a question that kind of coincides with, can the Dolphins be saved? Say that happens. Say we go on that tear. Say we need to win the last game, and we don't make the playoffs. Is Mike coming back?
I would.
Guys, brace yourselves. Brace yourselves.
I know Omar is saying no, but listen. I would, though, and not forget whether he is or not. I would, because what Mike showed yesterday, and this is what it was about. You have to empower the team and get them playing at a high level and keep them motivated. He's doing that. But what I need is what we saw last week when he was so frustrated and mad at his own players and everybody, and everything was about business. Somebody in his corner needs to be, that's what you need to be from day one. So if you're going to get another chance, you need to instill that and be that at all times. No more happy-go-lucky fun guy about business. And when you're winning, I'll get into it with you.
That's my
you cannot like change who the man is. He is at his core. I saw the picture of him trolling the Bills fans at the elbow room, I was like, this is so on brand for Mike.
I don't have a problem with that, but let me tell you what I do have a problem with. That celebration in the locker room. I'm sorry. See, this is what that's exactly what. I mean, go look at everybody who's winning big games, what they doing in that locker room. It's about business. They act like they've been there before.
No, tell me Prince's Rooney wasn't nice.
Just me. I just like, man, y'all look like, no, I ain't like it.
They hadn't been there before.
It's been seven games.
They hadn't been there before.
You got to admit, Prince can break dance.
As a fan, I was like, when you think about it, I realized he's a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, right? I was like, what player was that? Who's on IR doing that? And then I was like, that's Prince.
IR. No, that wasn't a player. That was the receiving coach.
That was Prince. Oh, wow. I thought it was one of the players. I was like, all right.
I'm not sure about it. When you look at New England winning a big game, they in that locker room, he ain't even giving people props. He about business. It's 13 seconds. Let's get on to the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about business.
He is who he is. And so Doug,
if you want him back, that's what you're going to get, man.
Doug, right now, I would say it's clearly north of 50-50. He's coming back next year. Tua's going to be the quarterback, and Champ Kelly's going to be the GM.
So let me ask you this. Well, let me piggyback off that second point. Say Champ Kelly isn't the GM, right? Say they do go out and they do – like, they interview Champ Kelly, right? But they also interview other GMs. Does this win, and does how Mike McDaniel is keeping the locker room alive entice the top potential GM candidates to come to Miami? So they want to pick their guy. So you keep Mike, you ain't getting the top guys.
Yeah. If you want to keep Mike, because I'm going to be honest, in order to keep Mike, the new general manager is either going to have to like him or it's going to have to be Kelly.
Full control. I want full control. When I do my presentation, I'm giving you head coaches. I'm giving you my staff.
Yes.
Of assistant general manager, director of scouting program. One thing I do want to address is the removal of Anthony Hunt and Adam Engroff. Mm-hmm. I know most Dolphin fans do not know them. They are some of the longest tenured Dolphins executives. 32 years for Anthony Hunt. We got 27 for Adam Engroff. I know both men are very good at their jobs. Both men are good talent evaluators. Adam Engroff will not be out of work very long. For you to do it now is sending a message to everybody in the league, everybody in the NFL. Like, those contracts run through the draft. Steve Ross doesn't care about the money, but you're sending a message. And that message is, we are cleaning house. We are building it completely new from the rooter to the tutor. And those weren't like the weaklings of the scouting department. Those were the top dogs. Mm-hmm. And for you to do that, it's like a shotgun to the whole staff.
Do you think they keep records to where maybe the last 7 years they've gotten it wrong?
I certainly would. Here's the thing. Steve Ross is in these meetings. He's briefed. He knows the game plan. So for 18 years, he's seen how they evaluated talent. He's seen what the board looks like. He's known the strategy. Now, clearly, and this is something that I truly do mean, clearly sometimes Steve Ross should say, no, I want you to do this. He won't. He doesn't. But sometimes, more than usually, he's right. They're wrong. And I'm not saying I want him to be Jerry Jones, but sometimes, Steve, you became a billionaire off your instincts. I know you don't know football, and I know you don't understand football, but I think you need to trust your instincts.
Dude, and what about Lamar?
I've heard that story from four different angles, and while he did propose it, it was like, hey, how about we take Lamar? And everybody just shut up, Steve.
Close the door on him.
Yeah, like, you stay over there in your lane. Because Adam Gase did not want to coach him. Chris Greer would never give Adam Gase a player that he doesn't want to coach. Tannenbaum was focused on – Tannenbaum wanted to trade back. Greer wanted to stay where he was and take Minka. And Steve was just like, hey, how about we stay back and take Lamar Jackson? And everybody's like, shut up. Like, but you know, sometimes he just needs to go with his instinct. I would love for him. I think he's horrible at hiring. And history is evidence of this.
Yes.
Which is why I propose you get somebody in your organization that actually knows football. Yeah. Because if Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor ever sat down for a Cam Cameron interview or a Joe Philbin interview or maybe even a Mike McDaniel interview, they go, no, absolutely not. It doesn't resonate. I can't follow it. This is not a leader. Like, you should know Joe Philbin was not a leader of men. Yes. You just, like, how long did it take you to figure that out, Adam? I mean, Poupart?
Very, very quickly. Important point I want to make. regarding you and your very good point about Engroff and Hunt, but it's like we're blowing it all up basically. Champ Kelly is new blood, so he does not.
He was like what this
he was hired in March.
Yeah.
New guy.
Was that possibly the plan all along? Contingency?
I can't believe that. Listen, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. One thing I will say and acknowledge, and I haven't written about this yet, is that I've seen Chan Kelly around. I've talked to him. I've interacted with him. I have never, ever, ever once seen him and Chris Greer in the same area.
That could be telling, though.
Mm-hmm. I was always looking for it. I've never seen them have a conversation.
Sometimes that guy is brought in to
work
back, and you know, he could be the next.
He's a fly on the wall. And listen, and Champ conducts himself like
a champ.
Yeah, why I got a question that has nothing to pertain to really anything important. Why was his thing so big, his like name tag or whatever? He looked like he was in a spelling bee. Why was that thing so big around his neck? I saw it. I was like, I could read all the credentials on his card. I was like, why is that thing so big?
It's the NFL is a new thing, and they have to take my picture. I have to scan my face in like four times.
Jeez,
one, hold on, let me do it. 1, 2. 3, 9, 4. Yeah, I have to scan in four times to have access to the NFL.
That's crazy. Last thing we'll talk about before we get to the donations. First off, you haven't yet subscribed. We're getting closer, 9,400. You don't get the insight from any other place like you do here with Omar Kelly and Al Poupart. All right, so hit that subscribe
button. And TD and Dougley Do Wrong.
Coco.
Yeah.
Coco beware. Yeah.
Would you have traded Jalen Waddle to the Buffalo Bills for a third next year and a first in 2027? I would have been pissed if they did that. It would have been Wes Welker all over again. And I just, no. Would you guys have?
Man, give me my first and third.
Bro, a 2027 first? 30th
in two drafts from now.
And? Give me my first and third for my new general manager. Who are you
going to pick at 30 that's actually going to be a game difference maker?
Man, listen.
Who do you throw to the rest of this season?
To a division rival?
Omar, once again, football, it's just a matter of what your football philosophy is. Mine is, I'm tired of paying people to tank, to rebuild, okay? Waddle in 2028, based off of the history of wide receivers, I can't trust that. This team will be ready to compete again in 28, in my opinion.
And so, let me ask you this question. Are you
punting on the next three seasons?
Two, Allen. I'm punting on the next two, yes, because we're going to punt.
The Patriots didn't punt and see where they are.
Why do you keep saying that? The Patriots punted for 4 years.
No, they didn't punt.
That's a lie. You're a liar. Hey,
what's the quarterback that's in San Francisco now? They were punting with him.
He was a first round pick.
Just because they got it wrong doesn't mean they were punting.
And a Pro Bowler is rookie or something like that.
Y'all forget what led up to the Patriots getting to this point? Y'all forget the last four years?
Just because they did it wrong doesn't mean they were punting.
Did it wrong. Now we have to recover. They had to recover, and now they're in a better place.
But they did not punt.
They recovered in 2 years.
By the way, Doug, can we stop with this revisionist history? I don't like – I always push back against us Wes Welker trade being so horrible. Wes Welker was a good, solid player with the Dolphins. Then he went on to play with prime Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Okay, and he also was a restricted free agent. The Patriots were going to sign him to an offer sheet with a poison pill that was going to make it really nasty for the Dolphins, and they got a 2 and a 7 for him, which at the time actually was good value.
My point is don't send – potential talent or good talent to a division rival is my point.
They sent Devontae Parker to the Patriots. That didn't hurt.
He wasn't potential good talent.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to make my team better for
Who the Patriots gave us? Leonte Carew. They traded with Miami to so Dolphins could get Leonte Carew.
that man's not in the building anymore who made that decision. I'll just say that.
Hold on, wait a minute.
You can't trade Waddle and Achane unless you're in full rebuild mode.
You need Waddle and Achane to attract the next year.
No, they're not.
Yes. That's something I brought up. You make a very good point, Omar. You got young talent here. Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, Ollie Gordon, Patrick Paul. You have Jonah and Grant. Obviously, they've been struggling, but potential talent. You have Chop, Malik. You know, you have these young guys here. Potentially have GMs be like, you can build off of this instead of selling it all and saying, come to nothing, essentially.
Let's wait until the second half of the season.
What young talent?
I just three listed guys? Them off.
Three guys? No, but you were listing guys that's not considered young talent. They're just young guys.
You?
Malik Washington? You're saying that's young talent?
He's young and he's talented. He's yes. He's
a player, but I'm talking about guys that you say you're going to build around, though. He's interchangeable. Let's call it what it is.
Oh, dude. He's like a miniature Deebo Samuel because of everything he does. I mean, I didn't say he was Deebo Samuel. I said he was like a mini Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, but okay.
He's a very valuable piece because of everything he does.
Because the only reason he does so much is because of this roster. He's the only one to do it. But we acting like he's going off every week or something.
No, but the potential.
He doesn't have the potential to go off every week. Are we kidding? That's like saying he has the potential to be Deebo Samuels. Are we saying that?
No, he's not as dynamic an athlete as Deebo Samuel. But as a third or fourth wide receiver, that's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, as a third or fourth wide receiver, of course, but that's interchangeable. Every year, teams change their third or fourth wide receiver.
He could be with the Dolphins for 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah, but it's not a building piece. That's all.
He's not a difference maker on a regular. Yes, you're right. But again, you have to have those players too. That's how you build the roster. You have to have depth around your roster, and not just you can't have 7 or 12 frontline guys. Nobody has 7 to 12.
Every new GM, when he takes over, you know what they do? They gut the roster, and they don't spend in free agency the first year. So
that's why I've said the next 2 years. That's the only reason. Kelly's going to stay here. That could change things.
Let's calm down and see how this team responds. While I think they gave you a nice spirited effort and a ton of excitement, delivered on a victory that this fan base desperately needed because, you know, your daddy, you've been whooping your tail for quite some time now. Let's not act like everything is fixed in this organization. Because, one, Mike's going to lose coaches. Who's going to come here on a coach on a hot seat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you do that. Champ has to build a new staff. Even if you hired him as interim coach, who's going to come here with this clown show of a head coach, front office, their decision making? Like, bro, you let Chris Greer have the job 10 years and then fired the interim guy who you brought in behind his back. Remember when you had Mike Tannenbaum? Tannenbaum came in as a consultant, then shanked the GM in the side and took his job. Like, and fired him 2 years. Come on, man. This is a lot of dysfunction around here. You just need to start fresh.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Omar, if you're advocating blowing it all up, then taking your lumps for 2 to 3 years, then maybe it would have made sense to make those trades.
Not for that. If the Giants had offered me a first this year,
yes,
I would have taken the deal.
100%.
So you're just the interdivision.
But I'm not taking the deal for.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying into the deal.
Let's say it was this year's picks. It would have been the 30th pick and the 94th pick. I don't want that for Jalen Waddle. I wouldn't even take that for Devon Achane.
Mm. Oh, now you trip.
Please. 30th pick, please.
I thought that was the reports that Dolphin were looking for a second.
Correct.
Nobody would give it.
Second plus.
Yeah, they would now.
Back on a one-year contract. I get it.
I love that Waddle and Achane stock is rising because this offseason, they could very well still be trading.
You know why those things get out there? Those things get out there to drive up the interest and drive up the market. And now Achane, they know who's interested in Achane. They know who might potentially pay him in free agency. That, it benefits Achane to get out there, to have his name out there. Same thing for Jalen Waddle. That they've been steadily building like Jalen Waddle's market. Like, oh, he's the one untouchable player on this team. Like, really? Are you serious?
They're building the market. I agree.
Yeah.
But I gotta ask you this about A-Chain though. Is he a player who's going to be durable long term though? Because of his size. And in the next 2 years, they probably ain't gonna have much around them. You don't think they're gonna run them in the ground?
I think they're running them in the ground now.
I know. Well, that's my point. Yeah. It's gonna get worse.
He hasn't shown anything that would make you think he's going to fall off yet. And I think when Austin Jackson returns,
get banged up and worn out. You know, they do
running backs are always banged up. He hasn't been on the injury report once this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a miracle considering he's
about this year, the year before, he had like a concussion and then he had 23. Yeah. He was hurt all year.
Backs will get rolled up all the time. He's right now a slot receiver, and I like what they're doing with him. I like it. It's creative. He's very productive as a runner. It's going to get much better when Austin Jackson and James Daniel returns. Austin Jackson's probably on his way back, probably within the next 2 weeks. I don't think he plays against Washington, but I think he plays the next week. James Daniel's probably not too far away. So the run game is going to perk up a little bit. To me, the biggest issue is you got to find another receiver. You got to find another receiver.
Someone's going to step up.
Yeah, that's irrelevant now. Nobody available.
Teams are going to figure out what they're doing, and they're going to stop it soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All it takes is one defensive coordinator to figure it out and stop it. And then they're back to square one. They have absolutely no weapons outside of two people.
Yeah, that happened in 2022 when we went and faced the 49ers and the Chargers. You know, like they shut the offense down completely in those two games.
But I don't think we need any more weapons.
You also have Waller coming back soon.
I don't think
the weapons are really the issue with this team, to be quite honest with you.
Are you kidding me?
No, I look at New England, what weapons they got? Running the ball the last 2 weeks. They were sucky at running the ball all season. The last 2 weeks, they finally break it out. They did the same thing. It's just a matter of everybody doing their job and doing it well. I don't think the receivers are the issue. It gives you an added bonus having a Tyreek and all of that. But there's teams that go far.
I didn't say they need Tyreek. Like I'll take a Mac Hollins.
Hollins just put up 106 yards.
I will take a Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins would kill it. I don't know why he's not here. Mac Hollins would kill it in this offense.
Well, I mean, it depends on who throwing him the football.
Kill it in this. Come on, man. Seriously. Really revision. And I like Mac Hollins as much as you as the next guy, but
he played well with Tua.
A run blocker. He'd actually be a run blocker who could actually catch it, make big plays in the red zone.
Big physical.
I love Mac Hollins. You know that.
I want him to come back.
I know you do.
Shout out to RJ, been a member for a month. Can the season be saved? Hell no, too late.
We can go 10-7.
Listen, they get 9-8. Oof. They can get there.
10-7.
Oof.
I don't think they can do 10-7.
You gotta lose 7 games to win to go 10-7. We were right on track.
can I address RJ? Because I think I have the answer here, even though there was no clarification. The Chubb taunting penalty. Mm. If you know the rule, what he did, he was on top of Josh Allen.
Rolled over him.
Well, he kind of like crawled.
Rubbed his nutsack in his face. That's what he did. You don't need to clean it up. He like scrubbed his nutsack in his face. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I think the problem was the flag was late. Like he crawled over him, stood up, did his dance, and then they threw the flag, and then they were like, for this? Yeah. They're like, no, you nutted his face.
You got to step to the side when you dismount from the quarterback. You got to move it to the side, not over him. Like
because that's Chubb's thing. After he sacks him, he likes to crawl on the ground. Then he gets up, he does his thing, but he just
you know they want to get Josh Allen called.
He probably said, "What does that smell like?" When he went over his
that's probably what he got the flag for.
You know what Josh Allen said? He was like, "I thought Wilkins wasn't here anymore." Someone in my chat was like, Josh Allen's lucky Wilkins wasn't here for all those tush pushes.
Is he healthy?
Probably. I don't know. He ain't going to play. It's going to be a hot man. He's got to deal with that legal stuff. Aaron with the Fiverr says, if any of you were the GM and you give Achane an extension, what would you offer? Also, is he our best running back that we've had since Ricky? Ronnie?
Reggie Bush.
Kenyon Drake?
I'm not going to disrespect Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller?
Are you serious? Lamar Miller?
Do you think Devon Achane's better than Lamar Miller?
Absolutely.
What about Drake?
He's more of a dual threat.
Much better.
Drake.
Kenyon Drake.
He's every bit as good as Reggie Bush also.
He's close to Reggie Bush.
Achane is premier. He's a premier guy.
That dude can play.
He can play. I'm not saying he can't play.
You know the weird thing about Achane? I don't think he's a premier running back, and I don't think he's a premier receiver. He's a premier football player. Like the mix of both makes him what he is.
I think he's going to have a couple more big runs because I think the run game, they're going to catch their lane. Mm. And I think he'll be at 1,200 yards.
Mm. All-purpose or just rushing?
Plus, he's in contract year. Rushing.
Mm. He's still going to be up there.
This is the dilemma. He asked, what would you pay?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not paying a back. I would make him play on a tag. Make him play out his rookie year and then make him play on a tag.
You think Ollie Gordon is the next man up?
I don't care.
He wasn't Jalen Wright.
Ollie's hurt, so that's why you saw Jalen Wright.
Then why was Ollie active?
Because he couldn't contribute, but he wasn't. He wasn't.
He got like two carries, I think.
No, I know he had the ankle injury. But,
yeah. I mean, you got a bum ankle. You can't, it's like, you know, a tire that's a little flat. Like, you're not going to be at your best.
Yeah. They'll pay Achane because there's nobody else up for money that they're going to keep.
I don't. You know what? You
can't give running backs like a huge contract. And a
me too. You're about to have wasteful years. So
depends on the GM. If it was Greer, I'd agree with you, but now it depends on who the GM's going to be.
But here's the thing, Omar, though, because you're talking about making pay on the franchise tag or whatever. You don't think that guy's going to, like, quote unquote, hold in next year if he didn't get a new deal?
Absolutely. And I'm fine with that because I'm not really trying to win next year. I'm trying to build a culture.
Omar, no, he ain't winning next year, man.
And you're rebuilding, and that's not going to happen with Mike McDaniel.
Of course, I'm rebuilding. What are you?
Not going to happen with Mike McDaniel.
Mike ain't going to be here. Like you have this fantasy land that Mike's going to be here.
I'm not in fantasy. I'm living in reality land.
Listen, you cannot sell Mike McDaniel. I understand he's driving by the elbow room trolling Bills fans. You can't sell that. Okay. Sorry, you can't sell that. And Ross needs to sell this team. He needs to sell not sell the team, but sell tickets.
No, I understand.
Some people agree with both of those statements.
Yeah.
Crazed with the Fiverr says, I like Tua punting at least once a game. He now has a twitchy eye on thirds that he may just yeet it down the field and tell Waddle to earn his pay.
Yeet.
And why would you say that in the public? I mean, you don't think other teams like, oh, okay, on third down, let's give them single high.
But they wanted to show that look to let you know we are still going. Mike Tua said he wants to get back to being the old Tua. The old Tua threw the ball downfield. Mike said, you get single high safety, throw it. Because a lot of times, and I've seen this all on the film that I don't watch, allegedly. you see this on the film, teams will always give Miami. You on third downs, third and 10, you want to throw it deep? Here's single coverage. And now they're like, okay, let's take it. Now, it ended in bad plays, you know, but
that's not the old Tua to me, though. The old Tua, when he's at his best, started 15 to 25 yard intermediate crossers, gashing them all game, right in those tight windows, run after the catch. And then you get to sprinkle in the deep ball because everybody's focused on the
teams are all playing inside the 20. The teams are all playing inside the 20.
That's when he was at his best.
That one play, though, where Tua rolled out to his left and hit Waddle on the right sideline, that was nice. That was a nice throw.
Teams are playing five coverage in the middle of the field, trying to jump into Tua's throwing lanes. Mm-hmm. He can't throw a 15-yard out. It is what it is. If y'all angry with me because I said that, Show me the last 50 yards. Show me five 50-yard outs, 15-yard outs. And so he's got to go deep. He's got to go deep. In order, you want to open up the middle, you got to go deep.
Mm-hmm. Mall Security with the tenor says, hey, Omar, should I read way too much in your Twitter exchange with Tyreek about coming back, or was it just bluster? I want to believe. Thanks for all for the streams all. So yeah, if you guys don't know, Omar and Tyreek had a conversation on Twitter where Omar essentially was like, Tyreek's not coming back. And then Tyreek was called Joel essentially a liar. And then you're like, oh, you're coming back? I'm looking forward to it. And he said another encrypted thing. Do we honestly think that Tyreek's coming back?
That's not even what it's about. I think Tyreek was angered by the fact that I hinted that he might retire. Mm. And I hinted that this rehab he's about to, like, y'all know Tyreek can't even walk right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this rehab he's about to embark on, like, it's comeback player of the year type stuff. This is like, if he ever gets back on an NFL field, it will be a miracle. And the point I was making is, depending on whether or not Tyreek had been playing with player insurance, and that player insurance is expensive, especially for a guy with his salary. If he suffered a career-ending injury and potentially cashed out and got a year's worth of his salary, which is what he would probably insure, do you think Tyreek is going to make $30 million the rest of his career after this injury?
So Omar, I saw the exchange, and this is me making an assumption here. The reason why he said Omar don't know what he's talking about, whatever he said, is because maybe he didn't have insurance.
Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe it's just that simple.
He was like, damn.
Yeah, like I was gut punch at the same time. Like,
shut up, man. Leave me alone. To me, it falls into the same category of Jalen Phillips, who I said, he don't look like he's going to be ready for the season opener. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show you. If what I said inspires Tyreek to giddy up on that rehab. Like, you know, Tyreek documents everything. You seen any rehab videos?
Mm-hmm.
You seen any walking videos?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want him to get out of that funk and start working to get back. And like, I really do hope he comes back, because despite all the knucklehead stuff, he's a good guy, a really good player. He's on the fringe of putting together a Hall of Fame career. Right now, I don't know what happens if he never plays again. But I just want to see him back. I want to see him back on an NFL field.
Even if he's not the same, get on a roster, play a season, and
it'd be a miracle if he's the same.
I actually want to see that because of that. I don't care if you don't play great. I just want to see him back on the field.
I agree with you.
He does call it quit.
John Brown, been a member for 6 months. He said, how'd the D get better after Phillips trade fins up? Mm-hmm.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Yeah, no, because there was still like that 4th and 13 that were converted because there was no pressure, and there were still like instances of.
Let me say something. I think Matt Judon might help you better against the run than what the other alternatives were. This is just a thought.
Okay, the best player on the Dolphin defense.
Well, I think this
might go off in about 15 minutes.
I think when Chop comes back this week, it may tell us something, because I think we need to slow down on the D line. And here's why. I personally feel like there's been too many cooks in the kitchen on that D line.
Trying to keep
everybody happy with rotations.
He said he stopped doing the rotations because he wants guys to start setting up plays. This is months ago. I hear where you're coming from. I think their substitutions are package based, but you know,
the numbers don't lie. They move guys around TD. The numbers don't lie. And
yeah, but this week, didn't those guys get more playing time missing Phillips and Chop?
Because there's those nobody guys, else.
Well, but yeah, exactly. Correct.
And they got in a rhythm out there doing their job and getting at it.
They weren't getting pressure.
No. Sorry, Chubb. Josh Allen's grill.
Dude, and like they maintained their lane discipline for Josh not to escape.
They were. Money. They were lane. You were right. They were very lane disciplined. I think Josh was holding back. I really do. I don't. No, I'm sorry. I've seen Josh. I've seen Josh Allen for what? How many years now? 7 years. That wasn't the Josh Allen I know on the field.
Yeah, he could have ran more, but I think we're getting an older version of Josh Allen.
Dude, seriously?
I think he's making decisions not to run as much. He doesn't want to run as much anymore.
You might be right.
He's been having these moments more often lately. I mean, we saw it in the first game versus Miami. I was up there in a booth watching and literally wide open field to run. And he's like, well, thank you, Josh, for not running. Like, he has opportunity. He is not running as much as he used to.
Maybe Cage, I don't watch him enough to know.
With the fiver says, great points, TD. We did to the Bills what the Bills did to the Chiefs. Premature Super Bowl.
But we won ours.
Eric with the fiver says, if McDaniel stays, could there be an option to get a guy from the 49ers for the GM? Someone who's familiar slash likes Mike won't be as handcuffed.
Handcrafted.
Looking at my list if I got any 49ers. Nope.
Anyway, y'all know how I like Mike. I really do like Mike. I love the fact that his team is fighting for him. And if they keep that up, then maybe my tune will change. But this organization has cancer. Yes. It is terminal.
Yep.
You got to chemo this mother. And you got to nuke this place. I've been here far too long.
Omar. You have been here far too long to not realize what's the MO from the very top, which is what? Tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead, tell me I'm wrong.
To do the very least that he can, to do anything he can to avoid a job search because he hates it and it's embarrassing.
Okay. And he threw the fans some meat. Some of the fans who wanted some blood, he threw them some meat by getting rid of Chris Greer.
If you do the easy thing, you will end up paying for it in the long run. Do the hard thing now. Yes, I get it. It's painful for you to go out there and interview and hire. That's why I say, get somebody in there to make the decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
Omar,
I'm not saying I don't agree with you with your point and what you're advocating for. I am just saying I've seen, like Tony Sperano used to say, this ain't my first rodeo. I've seen this show before.
I know you've seen that. I'm not denying that, but you need to change. Why do you continue to have a dysfunctional organization? Because you keep leaving a piece of it in there. You got cancer.
And that's
cut it out. Cut the leg off.
That's on the fan base. The fan base was loud. The fan base showed their frustration. Greer is gone. I think the fan base can't stop right there if we really want to clean out. Because as long as we're cheering and we're happy about what's happening, we just beat Buffalo. All right, we got the fan base calmed down. Let's business as usual. And I think this is the part of the reason why the cancer remains. Because as long as the fan base shows satisfaction for whatever's happening, it's all good. Ross doesn't feel embarrassed anymore. You think he feel embarrassed today?
Today's a good day, but Spain, this is your initiative. You going international with the sport, and he's a driving force behind the international aspect of the game. And understand that opens up another billion or two to them. For those who do not go or do not know, that international game, all you see in the whole city all week is people wearing NFL jerseys. It doesn't matter what NFL jersey they have. It's like me wearing a soccer jersey. Like, I don't know these teams, so I just buy the one I like, the color I like. It's like a Super Bowl. And now they've had like a Super Bowl in different cities each week for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna win that game too, and he's gonna be even more happy.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
And then Ian, I celebrate the bye. Go ahead.
Ian, been a member for a month. He says, wish the Finns were as good as this show. We appreciate you, Ian. He also dropped a $5 donation. Says, I've come to term with the fact McDaniel and Tua are coming back next year, which means we are probably keeping the interim GM going to waste next year.
Tua is absolutely coming back. And for the record, and I want to get this on the record since I told people inaccurate information. While Tua's contract averages out $42 million a year, he is really getting, no way around it, $54 million from the Dolphins organization. He opted into a $15 million. They opted into a $15 million bonus that they're going to have to pay him in March. And he's really getting 55 because he's got playing time and a workout bonus. Like, this is the heavy payload of the contract. This is the big daddy. And nobody's taking that from you. No, nobody's
2.0, 7 years, y'all. 7 years.
Josh with the member for 3 months said Ross should trust his instincts, but not on McDaniel.
If this team doesn't quit on McDaniel, I'll consider it.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Ross calls you for a decision, you'll tell him, I'm going to consider it. Oh, that's very noble.
Ian with the fiver says, I could totally see the Finns having 8 to 9 wins going into the final game of the season versus the Pats and then needing it for the number for one seed, not the number one seed, just like the old times.
Look at that New England schedule. It's awfully, awfully, awfully favorable. Holy crap.
Yes.
We have one tough game left.
And yep.
Left, that's it.
Louis with the fiver says, TD is always pro-tanking. Where has that gotten the Jets and the Browns? If you know how to draft, you could find talent anywhere here. I'm glad Waddle stays.
I'm not pro-tanking. I'm just pro-tanking right now when it makes sense.
Mm. Ian with the tour says, agree, Doug, don't send talent in division. Edward with the fiver says, Patrick Paul, Biggers, Grant, Chop Robinson, Achan, Waddle, and TD, all young talent.
Can I ask three guys that I like.
Can I ask you a question here? Why is everybody assuming Zeke Biggers is going to be a complete stud? I mean, I don't know. What am I missing here? Sorry.
I think it's just the point is, you know, what I'm saying is this isn't home run hit talent, but it's stuff you can build off of. You know what I'm saying? It's fundamental pieces.
I think Edward mistakes.
Oh, I'm not sorry. I didn't list Zeke Biggers.
I think Edward's mistake Jordan Phillips for Biggers.
Sorry. Patrick Paul, we got one. Okay.
Yeah.
Achane, obviously. Let's stop saying Waddle is young now. I think he's turning 27. What I'm saying is, how old will he be in 2 years? Y'all can listen. Let me just say this to you, Alan. Let me say this to you, Omar. Let me say this to you, Doug. Remember 2 years from now. See, I let time tell, but I learn from time telling. Okay. Mm. 2 years from now, if we're a bad team for both 2 years, and we're on the back end of it, we're all going to say, even though you're going to see at the time, oh, well, hindsight. No, we're going to be like, well, maybe we should have. Maybe we should have moved on from Waddle. Maybe we should have moved on from this person. Because the next 2 years, don't forget, you're still losing players, too.
Hmm.
You're still going to be losing players. You got to get your finances in order and everything. The Dolphins ran this to its absolute end point. They ran this, the money and everything, they ran it to the end. So they have to recoup. I mean, the Saints ran theirs to the end. They're just getting out of their cap troubles. So I don't see a future like a real competitive. I think we got a chance to compete for a Super Bowl with the best of them. I don't see that for the next 2 years. So I talk from a place of what would be best for the teams if that's the case, where the next 2 years we're actually going to be getting our stuff together. So I would love to keep Waddle. But just like I said with Xavier Howard, and Omar got what I was saying, even though you would have kept him, we're not
those years that we re-signed Xavier Howard, I said, let him go be a on a contending team so this man got a chance to win a Super Bowl. You're about to waste 2 years of his career, and then when we're ready to compete, he probably ain't even going to be on the team. And it happened like clockwork, exactly that way. And that's all I'm saying. We need to look at what's in front of us so that we can better prepare for the future. But holding on to these guys, when you can get younger assets, a few names to replace them that are younger, that's more valuable to me.
So my only pushback was, one, I'm not sending him to Buffalo. I'm not sending him to Buffalo. I'm not sending him to New England. I'm not sending him to the Jets. But if the Giants, like Omar said, if the Giants are like, we'll give you a first and a fifth this year, I would have sent Waddle. I would have been like, goodbye. They got the third pick right now in the draft? Like 100%. But you can't really, like, I see where you're coming from, right? And me and Omar are ones of, you got to tear it down. And when I was hearing that they started getting rid of guys in the front office, I'm like, good, they're getting rid of guys that been here. But you can't just chalk up that the next few years are going to suck, because we literally went from 1-16 to 11-5 and won the division. Not saying it's going to happen, but you can't say, you know, oh, we're going to suck for the next 2 years, because you just never know how it's going to pan out, you know?
We know how this is going to pan out.
Depends on the GM. Garrett the Fiverr says, who's champ and what's his credentials? Champ Kelly. Who wants to take that and inform Gary real quick of what champ, who champ is?
He has served as the assistant GM, general manager for the Las Vegas Raiders for 3 seasons. I think he worked under Gruden. He joined the Raiders after 7 years with the Chicago Bears, where he was the assistant director of player personnel from 2017 to 21. He began his career with the Denver Broncos from 2007 to 14 in the Broncos personnel department. He worked his way up from scout to become the assistant coordinator of pro and college scouting, and then was promoted to assistant director of pro personnel in 2010. Former player, played at University of Kentucky, has served as a general manager for the Lexington Horsemen of the United Indoor Football League. I don't know anything else about him other than he's got 3 daughters and is married to Stephanie.
There you go. Of the Raiders in 2023, though he was appointed on the same date as he was appointed by the Dolphins, October 31st, except in 2023, the trade deadline already had passed.
There you go. Gargump with the tenor says, just saying hi from North California. The DC just never fails to make my day. By the way, have you ever heard the theory that this team, personnel-wise, very close to mimics the 1990 Dolphins?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, man. James of the Fiverr says, Marino must have PTSD every time he sees Buffalo beat up on Miami. Yesterday probably felt as good to him as anybody else watching the game. Does he move around a lot, Marino? Because I noticed every time they show him, he's sitting on the steps and not in a seat. Is he up and down a lot?
He doesn't have the steps. I don't know.
Because he's always sitting on the steps. And I'm like, why is that?
Is he sitting on the steps next to Ross?
No, I don't. It wasn't Ross. It was somebody he was sitting next to. But he was like, there's the seat, and then the banister. And he was like, he's always just sitting on the steps watching. And I always assume like he sat and watched. And he's like, all right, let me go. And he like goes and does something else. Or I don't know. I always notice that man sitting on steps. Red Hood with the Fiverr says, taking the toys out works just like the Ravens. Not make the playoffs, but a respectable left 10-7 season to regroup for next year. It is what it is. Up, oh, Garp Gump with another tenor. Achane gained 195 yards after contact, 165 and 30 receptions against the Bills. Most by Dolphins since at least 2017. He forced a career high 11 missed tackles, gaining 110 yards after forcing a missed tackle. One of those missed tackles was Jordan Poyer.
Let's also give the O-line some credit there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, oh, yeah.
Even on those missed tackles, when you have a defender off balance or a second late and they get their hands on you, it's considered a missed tackle. In the O-line, they had some nice blocking lanes and delayed people long enough from wrapping them up. So the O-line did the thing, especially on those big runs.
He also had an absolutely – on this touchdown run, that jump cut he made right at the line, that was completely sick.
Yeah. The long run on the right side, I think it was Hayden Rucci, one of the tight ends slipped and fell and still engaged on his block.
Merrick.
It was Merrick.
That's the play, though. Watch Achan's jump cut in the hole. Really sick.
Philip with the fiver says, did you guys see Mike trolling the Bills at the Elbow Room? Yes, we did. That's how you win your fans back.
Like, why didn't they put out the video earlier? Like, right? You put out the video, like, it's midday? Come on, what are you holding on to it for? We spent the whole morning trying to figure out if this is AI. Like, even when I asked Mike the question, I'm like, is AI really that good? Because I see your sunglasses, your watch, your jacket.
You could tell AI, like, there's something glitchy on somebody somewhere with AI.
I don't know, man. Like, they even know the car is I was told because I asked.
It's a Bentley, right?
It is a Bentley Flying Spur matte gun metal. It is like it's the most pimped out car Bentley you can have. And that's Mike. He's pimping everything out. Man has style. That's the one thing I will tell you. Man has style.
James with the fiver says, if Fiedler's last second rushing touchdown against Oakland after 9/11, the most iconic play since 2000.
Miami Miracle?
Yeah, there's a few.
Nah, it's the 1-15 season, that catch.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Cleo Lemon to Greg Camarillo.
Hey, no.
That was it. For a fan, maybe, but I think one that doesn't get talked.
Smith, I actually agree with TD.
You agree with
TD? That Camarillo catch,
tears. It saved you from going 0-16. Do you know
that's more significant than one of the wildest endings in NFL history, or Lamar Smith's touchdown run to win the playoff game against Indy, or the Jay Fiedler touchdown.
Listen, too far.
Or the crying.
I don't care. I don't care.
What about the Ryan Fitzpatrick no look pass to get in field goal range to Matt Collins?
Yeah,
yep. Some good plays.
Joe Omar's buddy.
I've marked with a tour says Quinton Bell. It's called gap integrity, holding the edge. Chris with the fiver says throwing a dart, but what's the chances we get Channing Crowder on the panel? Man, it's hilarious with you guys, man. It's hard again. That's why we don't have guests on, because you have the four of us and then you have one guy.
Are we enough for you?
Double Cup Studios with the fiver says, I think the issue with Mike at coaching is consistency, keeping teams disciplined in the long run. There was a guy on who's a Jet fan, who the big broadcaster, I forgot his name, Rich Eisen, and he was talking, I think his last name's Tanner, he used to be a former executive, and he was talking about Mike McDaniel, and he says he's a fantastic coordinator. He's like, but he just doesn't think he has it in him to be a head coach. And
oh no, Joe Banner.
Yeah, thank you, Joe Banner. Yeah, and I kind of agree with that.
And he hasn't worked in the NFL in like 15 years, by the way. Mm-hmm. I looked it up.
Earl and with the tennis
organization was the Cleveland was no.
That's when he worked. That's when he said the last time he like worked with him was in Cleveland.
Anyway, let me.
Earl with the tenor says, happy Veterans Day to those who signed on the dotted line so we can argue about a game. Doug for president. He has a better chance to have a stadium named after him. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. If you don't know why he said that, just leave it alone. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Brian with the fiver says, do you think Tua is finally getting comfortable with his new safe playing style? He might just be getting comfortable with the players around him.
How about he's just being protected because there's six offensive linemen on the field?
Man, how about Tua's Tua?
Thank you. He had a good game against Atlanta, had a bad game against Baltimore, he had a good game against.
Yeah, he going like next week, he might have 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's Tua. And then the week after that, 3 picks.
We're going to have other good games, going to have other bad games.
They'll throw interceptions and bunches.
Yep.
Yeah, and now he got an excuse because he's being instructed to.
There you go.
Interceptions. Tree 305, been a member for 3 months. He says, any thoughts on cornerback Marshall shutting down Coleman? He had a good game too.
He did.
The rookie.
I saw some plays he made. I don't know about the whole game, but he made some plays.
Juju.
Juju's the one.
We have him under contract for 2 years, right? This year, next year.
Juju, 3 years actually.
No, there's no way.
Because I know we have him this year and next year.
Second year, isn't he a second year player?
No, he's a third year guy. He got injured his second year. I wrote a column on him. You could find it on the Miami Herald website.
We wrote about him as well on Miami Dolphins on the site.com.
And I talked about him on Dougley Do Wrong.
TD, your turn. Did you talk about him?
No.
In the locker room, I'm talking to him, and nobody comes up because they have no idea who he is or what he did in the game. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all were just talking, and I don't know who y'all were talking about.
32. The guy who probably played the best cornerback game since Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion.
Yeah. Every week now, I'm like, oh, that person made it, but who is that? Every week
now. Ian May with the tenor says, living in Seattle now and seeing how good the Seahawks are, really driving home the point how important the GM is. Ross better do research and not just give the job to Kelly unless it's Omar Kelly. Shout out to Omar Kelly.
GM for Seahawks have been there for 15 years.
Josh Snyder.
Yeah. He's been there forever.
Jay Wright with the tour says,
he's got his own GM tree.
1,105 scrimmage yards. Does he hit 2K? Yeah.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
All-purpose yards? You don't think so?
He's primary now. It's him and Waddle.
Soon enough, teams are going to lock him. Clamp.
Oh, that's good. Carlos with the tenor.
He's going to go off for the rest of the season.
Tree 305. Oh, I was going to say this in the beginning, and I forgot. TD, have you heard from Lino TV?
How about we ask his best friend, Omar, have you heard from Lino?
Has he called you Omar?
The local Bills lover of Omar.
The most knowledgeable beat writer.
Lino, brother, it's all right. It's all right.
Can't win them all.
The game in the first quarter, I haven't heard from Lino.
Hey, Lino, you needed this loss to get your mind focused for that championship run you're going to make.
Humble.
This loss to Miami is embarrassing, and it's going to motivate them.
Tampa Bay. Watch them spank Tampa Bay on Sunday.
Man. Carlos with the tenor says, hey, guys, theoretically, what has to happen?
It has to happen,
to make the playoffs? They have to win out.
That's it.
And they need help because they lost a lot of AFC games.
You know, if they win out 10 games, that should get them right.
We'll see. Chargers. You got the Chargers, the Broncos, you got the Chiefs. They'll probably hit 10 wins.
Bills and Patriots.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Colts. The real issue is the AFC North. What happens there will determine if Patriots teams have a chance.
Patriots fall apart.
They got a schedule.
I'm gonna read this, and we're gonna get out of here. FB Woodshop with the fiver says, usually watch you guys at 2x speed. Watching live now, and y'all sound drunk. We're just talking to you. Say the Dolphins fall off. The Steelers fall off, right? So we're both kind of crappy. You send Jalen Waddle to the Steelers for Mike Tomlin.
Well, Tua might be a Steeler if they might trade for him.
Nah, he ain't going to the cold.
Oh, I keep forgetting about that.
But we're going to get out of here. We will see you guys on Friday at 6:30 previewing the Madrid game. Omar, safe travels tomorrow, my man.
Yes. I don't even know what time it'll be, 6:30.
We'll iron it out. We'll let you guys know. I'll
cast it like midnight for me. Yep. Yeah.
So yeah. We'll iron that out for
you. How long is your flight?
8 hours.
Man. And it's 8 hours waiting in the airport to then get on the flight.
No. But I heard the airport isn't that bad. All the guys that went today told me the airport's not that bad. People portrayed.
Go check them out.
Travels, bro.
Omar Kelly, Miami Herald, like he was saying. Alan Pubart on Miami Dolphins on SI. TD, youtube.com/TD Finstalk. And myself, youtube.com/Dougley Do Wrong. We will see you Friday. At what time? We will let you know on Thursday. But like usual, we are out, Cub Scout. See you Friday.